summer services, mostly because y'all tend to take vacations. And so we're delighted that you're here. We are going to be returning to our regular service times and so on September 13th is our kickoff Sunday. And Tyler will be telling you more about that. Falling, and maybe this is something that, you know, every age can relate to, but falling isn't the problem. My father would say, it's the landing. And he knew that firsthand because when he got into his 90s, he had some balance issues and he wiped out a couple of times in a big way. And in a way, life is like that as well. Life can get us off balance. The highs aren't the challenge, the difficulty, when things are going really great. But when we're having stress, when we're having difficulties, the lows, that's what really tests us. What does God have in mind? What is God's will and his promise for us when life gets messy or when life gets difficult? What is his will and his promise? There's this song called Life is a Highway. Of course, it's a metaphor, but it's actually, I think, Tom Cochran, am I right? Yeah? He's not from Cochran, I don't think. Although I don't know that. You can check. But it's a metaphor for life being this road or this highway. It's actually a biblical metaphor. And it basically means that, you know, we travel along this road or this path. And if life is a highway, then I guess we are a vehicle. And maybe you're a VW Bug, or maybe you're a Jeep. But life is a highway and we're traveling. Of course, it's a metaphor. And the realities are along this life's journey, we do a lot of what we would consider, we experience a lot of detours. And whether that is things that we choose or whether that are circumstances that happen to us, illnesses, stresses in finances, decisions we make. Maybe it's even sometimes detours because of the things we say and the lies that we say. Or maybe it's financial, or maybe it's relational. But we get into these tests and these difficulties and we self-direct, we steer ourselves. And in these self-directed travel plans, there's a lot of what I would call zigging and zagging. And then we wonder, and we might feel, and we might think that God is silent, and we're zigging and zagging, or God is absent. We might even take it as far as to say, well, actually, God is the cause. God is to blame. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I want to say and state the obvious. Every challenge and difficulty that you have in life is one that you're going to go through. Every challenge or difficulty that you face is one that you're going to go through. You are not going to be able to go around it. You're not going to be able to go over it. You're not going to be able to go under it. You are going to go through it. And as much as we want to have it straightened out and we don't want to have those ziggy-zaggies, we don't want to have the detours and the difficulties, but they will be there. The question really is, how do we navigate along this road? What is God's will and his promise when life gets messy and difficult? The writer of Proverbs, and that's the book we're going through a summer sermon series from the book of Proverbs, The Way of Wisdom, and Solomon uses this metaphor as well. It's throughout Scripture, path or trail or road. And he writes in Proverbs 3, and it's on your screen. You can turn to Proverbs 3, starting at verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And I will say that word fear there is not like what you fear if you're facing a bear. Fear as in awe or reverence or respect. The word trust, so it begins with this word trust. Trust is a verb. It is a verb, and here it's written in the imperative. The imperative in grammatical is kind of like this sense of urgency. If there is a toddler on a tricycle and they're on the sidewalk and they're getting close to the intersection or to the curb, a parent might yell something imperative like, hey, stop! That's imperative. Trust is an imperative written in the imperative, and it's a verb. It's something that we do. Trust isn't something you have. It's a choice. It's a decision. It's an action. It's something that you do. Trust. And then we have this other word, with all your heart. Now, again, this is, in a sense, is a metaphor with all your heart, because it doesn't actually mean the muscle, the organ of the heart. It represents your inner being. And here you see the what I call a biblical anthropology, a biblical understanding of what it means to be human. We are physical. So coming back to the vehicles here, we are physical. There's a relational aspect, how we are in our environment and with people and so on. But there's something more to us being human. There's something inside of us. There's something steering us. The mental, the what scripture sometimes calls the heart, but it's volition, it's your will, it's your thoughts, it's your feelings, your inner being. Trust in the Lord with all of your inner being, with this inside in your inner being. And do not rely on your own insight. Your own insight is your own capacity, your own rationality, your own reasoning. Don't rely strictly on your own capacity to steer and rationalize and reason. Because the promise is, if you trust in the Lord, if you choose what Solomon is saying, if you choose to place your trust and you act that way, the promise is that God will make clear, direct, focused way forward in life for you. That's actually God's will, to make a clear, direct, focused way forward for all people. The exchange for that to be a reality in our life is placing our trust in Him. That's God's will. God's will isn't that we divert and do detours and zigzag. God's will is that we have a clear, direct, focused, confident way through life. But the exchange is our trust in Him, the great exchange. Isaiah 26:3, the prophet Isaiah put it this way: the steadfast of men and women will be strong because they place their trust in you. This great exchange. You will keep the steadfast of mind in perfect peace, he says, because they trust in you. The exchange of putting our decision to trust in the Lord and the exchange for peace of mind in Isaiah's case, or here, this direct way of driving through. It isn't because, and This has a bearing and an impact on the way we pray. It isn't because the Lord suddenly removes all difficulties in life or all obstacles in life or all health diseases or all conflicts. It isn't that he just removes them all, but that he comes with and he helps his desire and plan and promises to help us navigate in the midst of that. Back in my old days, we used these things to navigate. Do you remember these things? Anybody? No? Somebody, Clint is shaking. No, I'm calling. Clint's like, no, I don't. Oh, yes, you do. Unless you never drove. But we used to, when we wanted to know where we were going, we would go to AMA or CAA and we'd get some maps, or when we'd arrive at a province or a state, we would go to the information center and we'd get the map of that spot, and then we'd sit there and we'd haul it out. And we had a ton of these. When we moved here, we'd go look at this, and we'd have somebody in the passenger seat who was like, okay, and you'd try and find, we're gonna go like this. But now we don't have that. What do we use? It's a three-letter acronym. Yes. GPS or Waze. Yeah. But Waze is still dependent on global positioning system. What Solomon is saying here in Proverbs is that we actually have what I call a DPS, a divine positioning system. We actually have God's will and promises to be our DPS. Years ago, I was going to school in Chicago. And I'm going to tell you a story. It's literally what happened. But in the sort of vibe of metaphor, this real story is also a metaphor for how we live our lives. I was in Chicago. I was with my cohort and a friend of mine who was a young father, and he was in the hospital in Manitoba. I got a call that he had died. And so I talked to my profs. Could I go back early? The family wanted me to do the funeral for this friend of mine. So they said, you can leave Thursday. Like normally classes would go till Friday around noon. They said you could leave Thursday after the class, and you can make your way. This was in January. January. From Chicago to southern Manitoba. January. For those of you that don't know, it's usually cold and nasty and oh my goodness. So, finishes, it's dark as I'm leaving Chicago. It's raining and it's dark. And I program into my GPS my home address. I don't know Chicago that well because I just was going there for school. And Chicago is like a pretty big place. Chicagoland is, I don't know, 9 million people. So now it's coming from one of the lands. So I plug in my address and I'm trusting in this GPS because I can't see. And it's saying, turn here, turn there. It's raining. Take this exit, take that exit. And as I'm just trying to get out of Chicago, I am praying out loud. Lord, I really hope this thing is right. Because I can't see, I don't know, I'm not reading street signs. I'm barely, and I'm also a bit emotional because of the, so I'm driving, I get outside of Chicago, and now the rain is starting to get thicker. And now it's not coming off my windshield as much anymore. And it's getting whiter. And now it's kind of like in between ice and snow, and it's staying on my windshield, and I've got my defogger on full blast, and there's these two little half moons on my windshield that are clear. So I'm driving like this, And it's like, you know, just to fill up with gas and keep going, it's about 13 hours. So I'm going through the night and I'm doing this. And I'm talking out loud. It's just me. I'm talking, Lord, I am not going to be able to do this like for all these hours. I can't physically do this. So we'll pull off, get something to eat, get some gas, scrape the windshield, and then it clears up for a little while, and I'm following the GPS. It gets a lot easier for a while because it straightens out, and then I'm passing through Minneapolis, and I get through Minneapolis, and I start turning north, and now all the snow comes back. But now it comes back big time. And I'm still just depending on the direction and the Holy Spirit and the GPS. And now I get to the border of the U.S. and Canada. And now it's a full-on snowstorm. I get past the border, and we've now reduced our speed to about 40 kilometers an hour, 50 kilometers an hour, 40 kilometers an hour. It's complete snowstorm. You can't see anything. All I saw was four red lights in the back of a transport truck trailer. That's all I saw, four lights. And I'm just like, I'm going to just stay here. I'm going to follow those lights of that transport truck. And then all of a sudden, the transport truck comes to a stop. So do I. Transport truck driver comes, walks over. I open my window. He goes, can you take the lead for a while? I'm not making this up. They had been doing construction on this highway, and there were all these cement barricades. And he says, I'm really wiped out. And also, I don't know this area very well. And I said to him, dude, I don't either. You know, it's not like I do this a lot, especially in a snowstorm at night. So he goes, walks back behind me, keeps going to see. And you know what happens? I mean, a yellow VW bug passes me, passes the 18-wheeler, and takes the lead. Little VW bug. And we make our way. The next sort of town is a place called Morris. And now it's early morning. And anybody that's on the highway is peeling off to park and wait it out. And that's when DPS continued. Because the Holy Spirit said to me, Gary, you have to keep going. You have to keep going. And I'm thinking, I need to pull off. I'm wiped out. I've been going 10 hours, 11 hours of driving. And all. And the Holy Spirit, you got to keep going. So I keep going. I have to pass over a couple of bridges over rivers. It's like precarious because you can barely see. And I'm doing all this. And then I make my way and I get back home. At which point, Kimberly is like, oh, I'm so glad you made it. They just closed that stretch of the highway. I had about 1 hour to sort of sleep and rest before going to the church for the funeral. About an hour to have my hand stop from doing this. It was the DPS, GPS that got me out of Chicago. It was DPS, Holy Spirit guidance that had me keep going. And I went straight from my school dorm to my home in a snowstorm. No U's, no detours, no ziggy zaggy. Wasn't easy. If I had relied on my own insight, I probably would have stopped outside of Chicago or in Minneapolis, certainly would have pulled over in Morris. Now, you might be asking, those of you that are scientifically inclined or engineers or young people, what's the evidence that God's will and promise is to give us a clear, direct, focused way forward through life. The evidence is the cross. The evidence is that God demonstrates his love toward us. That while we were yet sinners, while we were in trouble, Christ died for us. His will and his want and his promise is to provide a way in life for us through the cosmic battles and through the very real difficulties of life. So the gospel that we know that I've been talking about is this, that we have a creator, and our creator is on a mission. That mission is to reestablish peace on earth, that green circle. But we recognize that we are also at the same time in a cosmic battle. There are spiritual forces of wickedness, the angels that sinned and crossed God. And so we are in this battle, and it overlaps with our existence here. And so God sent his son, that son who was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he sent the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Because his will and his promise is to give us a straight path forward through the cosmic battle, through the spiritual forces of wickedness and the battle that we're in, but also in the practical realities of the life that we have. And that's the invitation always. The invitation is to receive Jesus as Lord, to follow Jesus, to say, yes, I want Jesus to be my DPS, my way of positioning and helping and guiding me through life. And when we do that, the more we do that, we become part of the gospel. You become that yellow bug that passes me in the 18-wheeler and takes the lead for a while. You become part of it. You become part of the gospel. It's so fantastic. God is not to blame for sin or for illness or for killing or for cancer. His will and his want is to help and lead and guide us through the travails of life. When Jesus was in a synagogue, they recognized that he was there as a great teacher. So they asked him to come forward to read a passage. And they handed him the scroll of Isaiah, rolled up scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus unrolled the scroll of Isaiah to a particular passage. That particular passage is what we read in Luke 4. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written. This is what he chose to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now he is speaking and reading this, and I will conclude by saying he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." figuratively, this is what he wants. In other words, figuratively, the people that can't see don't understand. Figuratively, he wants to give them sight. He wants to reveal the truth. But this is also literally the case, because in Jesus' ministry, he literally went around and healed people. This is God's son choosing a particular passage of scripture that he had inspired to the prophet Isaiah, who is standing up and reading this, to convey God's will and his promise, both from a literal and a figurative perspective. This is his will and his promise. This is what our God is like and what he wants for us. And that's, I guess, where we move from the wow of it to the how of it. If this is the case, that God, by the Holy Spirit, guides, if he is the DPS, the divine positioning system, then the next question is how? How does he communicate with us? How does he actually, like, we know that we can say, you know, I won't say it out loud now because half your phones will go off. If I say, hey, Siri, but if I won't. Hey, Alexa, no. You could type in your address and write. So how do we actually invoke, how do we communicate, how does God communicate with us if this is the case? In your bulletin, you're seeing in the little sermon, abbreviated sermon supplement there, a space. I want you to just take one moment. And if you would write down, and for those of you that don't have that, you can write it on your phones. But I want you to write down this. I'm asking you a question. I want you to think about this. This is active. We're not just sitting here getting some download and then, you know, checking a box. The question is, what do you believe in terms of how God communicates? You're not trying to get the answer right. I'm saying in terms of what you believe. What you personally believe, how does God communicate to people or to you? How does he provide guidance? I mean, what do you believe in this regard? Not what's the right answer. Nobody's going to mark this. Pastors aren't going to check it. What do you believe when it comes to how God communicates and guides? Does our Creator communicate with us directly? Does he communicate with people directly? Anybody? Does God communicate with any people directly? How does he do that? Through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, God speaks to you directly. Do thoughts actually come to you sometimes? You're sitting there and you go, wait a second. A thought, like you might even say, a thought came to me. Thoughts come to you. There's things that you already have, but then there are times, and now you have to discern that. You have to decide and discern, like, is that where that voice is coming from? But God speaks to us directly. And I will put sort of semi-directly in that. We also have scripture, but these are words, right? This is text. This is language. These are words, and they are inspired, God-inspired words, but they are words nonetheless. If they speak to you, it's because it's being done in concert with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that's giving meaning to the words to your mind. The Holy Spirit's working in concert with these inspired words. So when you're reading and some idea comes to you and some meaning comes to you and so on, it's in concert with the Holy Spirit. Our God also guide us and communicate with us indirectly? Now, these are yes or no ones that you can jump in here. And I'm kind of leading, yes, he does. How are ways that God would communicate with us indirectly, meaning he talks through someone or something else, not directly to you, but talks through some or something else in order to communicate with you? What would be a way? Indirect communication. How does God guide us indirectly? Other people. Exactly. And you know what's interesting is that God can direct us through other people. Often they are other followers of Jesus, but they may not even know that the words that they're saying are actually so profound and powerful. Other people, angels. We read throughout Scripture how God communicates through angels. Something we're going to hopefully get a chance to explore over this coming teaching year. And there are other ways that God communicates, and his plan is to guide us. And Scripture, especially when we get into the New Testament, is chock full of the role of the Holy Spirit is to guide us and to lead us into the truth, to testify to Jesus, to convict us, to encourage us, etc., etc. That's his will and his want. The question then is, are we willing? Will we trust? A theologian years ago defined faith as belief plus trust. I also like math, so I like how clean that is. Faith equals belief plus trust. F equals B plus T. Belief is the cognitive assent, the intellectual yes, but trust is active. Your faith is revealed through the actions and the words that you speak and the actions that you take. It isn't earned by them, but your faith, what you believe, your faith is revealed by the actions and the decisions and the words that you do. And the invitation is to invoke and trust God as your guide. I'm going to invite the music team to come back up onto the platform. How do we do that exactly? And with this, I want to wrap it up here. Practically speaking, what Solomon is saying, number one, is to acknowledge the Lord. What are ways that you can acknowledge the Lord in your day-to-day life? First of all, acknowledge his presence, acknowledge that he is Lord. Can you acknowledge him? You can acknowledge him by saying his name. I carry different kinds of crosses in my pocket. I don't worship the cross. I'm not like rubbing the cross to get some kind of special something or other. But I keep it in my pocket to remind me and to acknowledge God. If something in my posture changes, I put my hand in my pocket, I'm talking with somebody, I put my hand in my pocket, I'm like, oh yeah. What is it for you? How will you be able to acknowledge God when you're going to school, when you're at work, in your neighborhood? How are you acknowledging God? And we need some help with that. We need some things that will help us with that, some tangible things to help us acknowledge that God is with you and he is for you and his will is to help you and all the garbage and noise that's around us, and you need something to remind you, a way to trigger and acknowledge Jesus. Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is with me. God loves me. God is for me. And I also want to extend that and amplify that. So when I'm with somebody, I'm conducting myself a certain way because I'm reminded, I'm acknowledging the Lord is with us right here, right now. Acknowledge. And then engage your DPS. How do you actually engage it? We know we can enter it on our maps or our ways. Love it. Waze. Interesting, right? Our daughter in Toronto uses Waze. Jesus way. How will you engage? Does that mean you ask? Do you ask God questions? Do you ask him questions and then wait for a response and write that down and see what if that makes sense? Do you engage DPS by saying, you know, here's the thing I'm going through in life right now, and you talk to another follower of Jesus, and you say, does this make sense to you? Like, how do you engage with the positioning system? How do you engage with God's desire for you to have this clear, direct way? How do you engage with that? But then the last thing, you acknowledge, you engage, but then you follow. You actually follow, like in Chicago. You hit it, and then you follow. And no matter the currents, you might get teased, you might lose some money, or you might be heckled, it might not make sense, you might not be able to see far down the line, because it's especially when you can't see and you're not sure, and it seems like impossible, but you've decided, Lord is giving me this direction, and you follow it no matter what. And you don't go this way and that way, and you hear the GPS system saying recalculating, because you know a shortcut, recalculating, but I think I'll go over here, recalculating, because you can't actually have it both ways. You can't have God, I'm going to follow God, but I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do things my way, and I'm going to be self-directed over here, and I'm going to have it both ways. You can't do it. Faith is going on. And some of you, I know some of your stories. I know the difficulties that some of you are going through. And you are doing this right now. You are trusting the Lord through it. I know that. And you are becoming part of the gospel message. And other people are seeing it. And I know you don't like the circumstance you're in. But because you're trusting the Lord, other people are seeing that. And it is giving them courage to try and do the same thing. As Jesus said, if it was, you know, my will, I would rather not. The cup could pass by me. And I know that for some of you would say, you know what? But not my will, your will. Trust determines the trajectory. Trust determines the direction we're going. Where we trust, the decisions we make, the choices we make, that determines the direction we're going. The offer is, if you travel with God, if you trust God, you will travel well. If you trust God, you will travel well.